I'm going to use this stool over here. I'm feeling a little dizzy. If I happen to fall over, somebody else just get up and keep going. It'll all be all right. Or sing 10,000 Reasons again. Just do something. Yeah, it's a day like that. I'm going to talk about Mother's Day a little bit in a minute, accidentally. But we're talking about joy for the next couple of weeks. And we're talking about the idea of contentment also, another word used in the scriptures a lot by Paul, the idea of contentment. And I'll get to the sort of a little bit of my thoughts about that in a minute, these words, joy, contentment. But I'm going to tell us a story, and I may have told some of you this before, I don't know. But, hi, Kava. When I was in high school, I mean, I was quite a stud. I'm just letting you know. Now, I was also, at the same time, I was a nerd. I mean, so it's kind of like a combo. You know, I was cool, but I was also a nerd. I call it a cool nerd. And some of y'all know people like that. As a matter of fact, our congregation is kind of filled with those kind of people. And it's a good thing. But I was cool because I played football. And I was the quarterback of our football team. And in 19... None of your business, but it was a while ago. I played, this was in Kansas. I played for the Junction City High School Blue Jays. And we won the 5A state championship in that year. I'll tell you this, it was the same year that the movie Remember the Titans. If you remember that movie with Denzel Washington being the football coach. It was that same era. As a matter of fact, that team is my team. I was very, we lived next to an Army post. We lived on the Army post right next to the town. And we were a very diverse racially team, very diverse. We played teams. We went to towns where there were actually all white people. There was nobody, not a black person alive. As a matter of fact, we'd ride in on the bus, and I was a starting quarterback, and there were two other white guys who got to play as it, and felt very lucky. I just turned around and hand off the ball to some really good guys, and we won a lot of games. We'd won the state championship the year before, and we're on our way to win it again my junior year, but we drove into some towns where they had absolutely no color of any kind, just white. And you know, in Kansas, white's not even tan. It's just a real white. And so I actually saw this, yeah, Deborah knows. I saw this happen. A mom walking down the street with her child, and she saw our bus come, and she took her child and moved her child around behind her back. This is a really sad kind of thing. But what we knew in that bus, we were going to kick the dog out of this team because they were already afraid. They were afraid of us. So we're going to kill them. And we did. We did. So the state championship game went down like this. We scored on the opening kickoff. All right. We went for two because our kicker was hurt. We went for two. I was the quarterback, took the ball around the right, pass or run, I decided to run. I go into the end zone for the two-point conversion, but a guy hits me right on the right hand and breaks my middle finger. I played the whole game with a broken middle finger. I passed five times. I threw two interceptions, no completions. And yet, the next day, I was the star of the whole game because in the fourth quarter, I ran a long ways for a touchdown that turned out to be the winning touchdown. So I was like, woohoo, it was awesome. Winning the state championship was incredible. We celebrated. I mean, all those songs, I don't know if you remember the soundtrack from Remember the Titans, but it's, you know, early 70s Motown, you know, and we did that. We could do Motown. Oh, we were awesome. And so we're celebrating. It was fantastic, man. It was the best of the best. We'd won the championship. We were so excited. Got on the bus. We have about a 20-minute drive back to Junction City. We're playing in Manhattan at Kansas State University at their field. And we're driving back. And about halfway back, this overwhelming sense of dread comes over me. I go from being the happiest guy in the world to the most, worried guy. And the reason was because I thought, oh my gosh, we just won the championship, and now what? We're going to have to win it again. You know, I don't know if we can keep this up. I don't know. You know, I was worried. Instead of being happy and celebrating, I'm like, oh no. And I find that this is often the case with what I want to call event-based joy. So you're so excited about something for a moment, and then moment passes, and then you're, you know, boo, just blah, kind of almost like, well, that was good, but now it's over. And now what? And so we're going to talk about this. That's not the only kind of, you know, negative that comes out of some joyful situations, what could be, should be joyful situations. But we're going to talk about joy for the next couple of weeks, headed there anyway. And today we're especially going to talk about the idea of thankfulness as it relates to joy. I was driving to Austin a couple of weeks ago to visit my son, Jason. Thank you. This is just in case. If I pass out, I'm going to pour this on myself, and then I'll wake up again. So thank you, Jeanette. And I'm listening to Dave Ramsey, you know, the guy who talks about money. And so I'm listening to him, pretty good, pretty interesting deal. Take some, pass, leave some, take it or leave it, you know, kind of thing. But his daughter comes on. Her name is Rachel Cruz, and she's written a book, and it's a journal kind of thing with prompts in it. And the title of it is Thankfulness, Humility, Contentment. And it was very interesting, and so interesting, and if something gets to be interesting for me, you're going to get to hear about it. So there you go. That's going to happen. And so we're going to talk about thankfulness today, but we're on our way to this idea of contentment or joy. And so that's what that's about. But last week we talked about this verse, and this is where we're headed. You know, Jesus died for us. He set us free. We are new creation. Okay, we have all there is to live for, and yet there's some things that are just, we need joy. Our country is just full of negativity, right? And it's full of fear and distrust and conflict. And, you know, where's the joy in that? Where is the joy in that? And in some ways, the greatest place to be right here in America, right? And yet, oh, just so much not joy. Just whatever that is, yeah, you think of your own word. Why is that? Well, I believe Jesus died not only to save us, to rescue us, to forgive us of our sins, but also to give us this new life, and the new life was supposed to be great. And so we talked about this, and using this verse from Philippians, I want to know Christ. I want to, and this idea of knowing him is again, not just knowing about him. I want to know him. I want to know how he thinks. I want to be able to finish his sentences. I want him to finish mine. I was going to talk about Betty, but, you know, I got so many stories. But she's such a, yeah. Well, she gave me a mug that says, we know each other so well that we can finish each other's coffee. Yeah, I don't know about that. But I want to know Christ. And in the knowing of Christ, I believe there's joy to be found, right? And I want to experience the mighty power that there is, this power for us to live by. And I want to experience that in my lifetime now. And you know, we sang the song 10,000 Reasons. And I get to that last verse and I'm pumped because I believe I'm going to live with Jesus forever. Can we say amen? Yes, good. But I want to live with him right now too, right? Today. Because I believe he's offering that in the knowing of Him, knowing Him well, I will also discover there's joy in my life right now. So what I'm believing, though, is that there's some things that we do on a regular basis. I'm going to call them bad habits. We have some bad habits that keep us from experiencing the joy that really we are destined to have. And so here's the bad habits. So I'm going to say this about them. First of all, bad habits don't go away unless they're replaced by good and better habits. And Jesus told a little parable about this. You run the demon out of the house. Unless you put something good in the house, he's coming back with more buddies, and it's going to be bad news. And this, we've experienced this in our lives too, where we've tried to do something or get rid of some bad habit, and now what do I do? I need to replace it with something better. And so we're going to get to that and what some of the bad habits are. But in 1 Thessalonians, there's this list. The end of 1 Thessalonians is a list. So there's these three verses, 16, 17, and 18, and they're real short. Whoops. I meant to do it this way. And always be joyful. That's verse 16. Never stop praying. That's verse 17. And be thankful in all circumstances. That's verse 18. So I want you to think about these list of kind of final instructions, okay? Always be joyful, which I think is difficult. Because, you know, sometimes I'm just not. And then so what I've done in the past is try to think, well, joyful just means this great spiritual attitude. It doesn't mean happy. It means joyful. And you can always be joyful even if you're not. And that's hard for me to really be honest using the word that way. Y'all kind of know what I'm talking about, maybe a little bit anyway. But he still says it. Always be joyful. And so I'm looking for this joyfulness on your face. If you're joyful, I want to see a little bit of it even right now while I'm preaching. Because one of the times when you should always be, always means while Bob's preaching. And so I need a little bit of joy coming out of you, a little bit feedback. Come on, let's go. And I'm going to call out the front row first, and then Kyva and Sally too. You know, they're just kind of grump faces there. But now, here's what I've come to learn about all of you. Like Steve Lodge speaks, his face, you're never going to get joy out of that, really. But you might get this. What you might get is, that's really making me think about something good. That's how Lodge speech is, which is good. I always take it as great, you know. Anyway, always, then never stop praying. I mean, how do you pray when you're asleep? I don't know about that, but we're going to come to that maybe in this mini series of 3 weeks. But today we're talking about this. Always be thankful. It says be thankful in all circumstances, not always, but be thankful in all circumstances. That's hard. I've had some circumstances that I had a hard time being thankful. I got fired. That was not a happy day. So let's have a party tonight and sometimes a party after being fired could be good, but it's not the kind of party that, you know, we should have. Yeah, somebody said that. So, you know, sometimes it's just not, you don't feel it, but wait a minute, maybe there's something to this, all circumstances. So we're going to move along here, and I want to talk about for a minute four enemies that rob us from joy. And if you have a handout, you can do this. You know what I used to do when I taught Bible class? I taught Old Testament Bible at ACU, and then I taught a class called Christianity and Culture. I just got up there to see how it was. Not too good. Going back to the stool. And in my class, this is what I would do. You had a handout, and then you had to turn it in at the end of class, and your grades depend on how you did in the handout. And the handout was easy. If you want to get a good grade in the class, just show up, take notes, hand it in. You're going to get a good grade. Good thing we don't grade here same way. But handout, four enemies that rob us of joy. Number one, I'm calling it options. Options. Now, there's another term for this that's more modern, and I'll get to that in a second. But I was listening to Matt Chandler preach. I don't know if y'all met Matt Chandler in the Village, but he used to be the campus minister in Abilene at Beltway Church when Beltway was small. And that's when I met him. He was a campus minister. And he was a campus minister at a Baptist church. I was at the Church of Christ College. And he's the first non-Church of Christ guy that we invited to speak that I sort of wiggled in there to speak on our campus to the whole student body. And Matt and I got to be buddies, so I started listening to his sermons when he moved over. And he is still kind of small church, is growing. He did this series on the letters to the churches in Revelation, okay? And one of the, he's talking about this idea of options being a negative thing regarding your joy. And what he was saying is like this. He said, a lot of times, he's around people at the moment, and he was in his early 30s, and he said, oh, my buddy, they're complaining about everything. I mean, we moved from Abilene to Dallas because, you know why? Abilene didn't have, there was nothing to do. And now we're sitting around in Dallas, and we're sitting around on Friday night, and we say, we still ain't got nothing to do. And so what he began to think, it wasn't that Abilene was lame, is that his friends were lame. You know, they can't find nothing, they won't find anything to do anywhere. But there are so many options. Sometimes you don't know what to choose from, and I can't do it. And so he had gone on a trip to Africa where he was met some really in a out back kind of village in Africa. I went to Africa, didn't meet a lot of people like this, but they said all they had to eat was rice. That's all they had to eat. But he didn't know it at the time, so he asked him, what's your favorite food? And these two boys, 12, 13-year-old boys, they look at each other. No, what's your favorite food? They both go, rice. Rice. We love rice. Because for them, it was rice or nothing. It was rice. They didn't have a lot of options to get disgruntled about. And so the common word is FOMO. You know what FOMO is? What? Fear of missing out. Yeah, this is great. FOMO, fear of missing out. So what happens, our generation is paralyzed because, you know, we might make the wrong choice. We might go, you know, to Jason's Deli, and we actually should have gone to Schlotzky's. Oh, my gosh, we missed the party. And so there's so many options. We're dissatisfied because we're afraid we might have missed out on something that we didn't choose. We chose plan A, and now we find out, oh, my gosh, plan B was better. And so with so many options, we're not thankful for the simplicity that we have. Here's what happened when I grew up. When I was growing up, and again, way back, we, you know, didn't have air conditioning in our cars, you know, that kind of thing. My mom never asked, what do you want for dinner? She never asked that. Ever. That was never a question. You know what we did? We ate and we liked it. We liked it. We said, thank you. This is awesome. And you know what it was? Pork and beans and Vienna sausage. And my daddy, he loves that. If he would eat that every day, he would still be a happy guy. But you know, options are killing. Because, okay, second thing, here's another thing. We don't have enough. Like, even if I got some good stuff, I don't have enough good stuff. And, you know, I was living by myself for a while, and I thought I knew that I had enough shoes. But when I moved in with somebody else, I found out, you can have a lot more shoes than what I got. And you and me, and you know what? You need more. But that's the way we all are. You know, we always need a little bit. We need something a little bit better. You know, we need a better house, bigger house, more money, a prettier girlfriend, a smarter. Not that that could ever happen. But you have a smarter and richer boyfriend, you know. You just need more. We need more. We have some, but we'd like to have more. We don't have enough. Third thing. Entitlement means the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. I pick up my grandson, I take him to school, and I pick him up. He's 14. And I've been doing this all through middle school. And so I started every once in a while bringing a snack. Just, you know, whatever was left over for me. And man, he was so excited on the days he got a snack. I'd bring him a snack. It'd be a cookie or, you know, it'd be half-eaten donut. I mean, anything. He was just excited because he was going to get a snack. Now, it's like he looks at the snack I bring. He says, is that it? Is that all you got? You know, really? That's all? You know? Or it's like college graduations was this last year. You know, and this is the way college students, and maybe they've always been this way. I don't know. I didn't remember being it this way, but college kids, there's a ton of them, they think this: I've graduated from college, and now it is my time to go get a job, and I'll be the boss, and I'll make $100,000, because, you know, I have a degree, and here I go. I know I'm 22, but that's what I deserve, because I just finished college, and here I should go. This idea of entitlement, and so we're not thankful. Because, you know we need more, and I picked the wrong option. And so, you know, that snack you brought me today, Pop, no thanks, really. And then the next one is the idea of immediate gratification. And this is so obvious. We've talked about this before, too. And there's so many examples. But recently, this example has snuck up on me. And because I've flown around quite a bit in the last couple of years, and also I come and stay with Art and Betty. And so I see TSA people in a very different kind of light now, you know, because I'm semi-related to one. And so, but I've noticed this. I don't know what used to be the top place for me, but now the most rude people I see are people who are flying as they're going through the checkpoints. They're just flat out ornery. They are so cranky and dissatisfied. They have so many complaints to make because, you know what? They want to be safe. They want to make sure that nobody's going to blow up their plane, but they want to walk through that thing right now. You know, we got to get on that plane right now. This is taking way too long. It's been at least 8 minutes and I'm not through this checkpoint yet, you know? And so they say the most crazy, rude things. I can't even talk about those, but we want what we want, and we want it now, unless we could have had it yesterday. That's when we really wish we could have had it, but we want it now. And this is what happens when you order something by mail, you know, you order something from Amazon, and it didn't come today. Well, you just ordered it like 15 minutes ago. But I know, but I want it now. This is kind of the way it is. And so these things steal our joy, and so we're not thankful. I'm not thankful for the option that I do receive. I'm not thankful for the amount that I do have. I'm not thankful that I get the opportunity maybe to have a job instead of be the boss. I'm not thankful that I'm going to get something in some way. But I want to go a little farther in this and talk about this, that our response to these enemies would be to become intentionally thankful. And the word intentional or intentionality or intentionally, I want to think about that for a second. What does that mean? When I hear somebody talk about something you need to be intentional about that. What does that mean? And especially in this context of intentionally thankful. Here's what I want you to write down if you're writing notes, and you get an extra point on this if you're in my Bible class. Intentionally thankful, you're going to have some chosen practices. Okay, I'm going to choose. Sometimes you practice something, you're doing something, and you might not have even chosen it. I know this is, how did you get in the habit of doing something, and you're just doing it. You don't know why you're doing it. It's your practice. It's your habit. You don't know why, but this is something you're actually choosing to do. You're choosing to do these certain practices. There's certain behaviors, certain activities, and I want to suggest these three that you would remember, you would anticipate, and you would declare. Let's talk about remember first. You remember what God has done. You're going to sing 10,000 reasons over and over, you know, and you're going to start counting those reasons. I remember Jamie a few decades ago, maybe it was last year, I don't know, whenever it was, but she came and she talked about in class or sometime the list of things that at the end of the day, 10 things I'm thankful for. That's what an awesome habit, okay? 10 things I'm thankful for today. Boom, 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 boom. And it might not be like that, but remember, I'm thankful for this is what God did for me. The first thing, that He created me. He made me. He created me. And then He loved me so much that He sent His Son for me to rescue me because I needed His help. And this idea about created is important. That He created me. He didn't just create me for no reason. He created me this person who can experience life. He created me that I can experience happiness and joy. And He also did this. He put me in a family. Now, I want to talk about that for a second. It's Mother's Day. And we prayed for, we thanked our moms. But, you know, Mother's Day, that's a wild card. There's a lot of not joy on Mother's Day. Because you know what? Some people are experiencing the first Mother's Day since their mom passed. And it's not that big a celebration. It's sad. Some folks have a pretty rough relationship with their mom. Some moms weren't good moms. We got to admit that. Some moms weren't good moms. Some of the moms in this room have a very difficult relationship with their kids. Sometimes Mother's Day is the one out of 365 that you might get a thank you. But here's what God also did. God put us in families. Even sometimes of those who don't seem to have families have suddenly found a family right here. I'm so pumped about this family right here. And some people, I mean, just look around the room. This is an awesome place to be. And especially if you're a person who's looking for a mom. Because there's moms in this room. And they're willing to be yours, even if they're not old enough to be yours. I kind of take it that way with Betty. She's not old enough to be my mom, but she kind of moms me around. Yeah, that happens. And some of you have same experience from other people in the room where you have found family here, and maybe not be a mom, but it's just a friend. You found a friend. This is what, in a way, Alan was talking about, how we're a place that we want to take care of each other. We're going to be generous with each other and take care of each other. You found a place to be. I hope this is what you're experiencing here. It's what I'm experiencing. So I want to remember that God created me. He put me in a family. He's rescued me. I have so many things I want to remember what God has done for me. But the second thing is I want to anticipate. And I want to anticipate that He's prepared a future for me that's better even than the good things I have right now. And I've got it pretty good. I mean, I'm a blessed person. And I think we all could say that. We are blessed. We got some problems. We have some issues. We have some difficulties. We do. And that's what that list in the back, we have a prayer list. We have a group that'll meet tonight. And it'll pray about people. We have some problems. But as a group, we're blessed. But here's the thing. God's preparing a better place than even this. You think of your best experience right here on this earth, God's preparing a place that we're going there. And I don't know about you, but I'm confident there's a heaven and I'm going to go there. And I'm be with Jesus forever. And the problems of today are going to be gone. They're going to be gone. what all those problems are today, they're going to be gone. That's what I'm anticipating. So I want to remember and be thankful for what God has done, but I'm also going to anticipate and be thankful for what He's preparing for me. I still pray, though, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth. And I'm talking about today. I'm praying, I want to be a person who is advancing the kingdom of God now, but I'm still happy for that future that's ahead of me. One of the things the Bible says that we are inheritors. We're going to inherit something. And for that to happen, that's talking about a future. Okay, next thing is that I'll declare that I'm His beloved. God loves me. This is who I am. I'm His child. I'm His son. Some of you are sons. Some of you are daughters. We're His kids. He loves me. I'm forgiven. I'm chosen. I'm loved. This list could go on, but I want to declare that, okay? I'm going to remember what He's done. I'm going to anticipate what He's going to do. Now I want to declare. I want to talk about it. I want to say, this is me. Here's me a few years ago. Well, 2006, quite a few years ago. Boy, time is flying. But what was going on then, I had just finished 30 years at ACU, and they had this banquet thing at the end of the year where everybody's together, and if you were there for a certain period of time, they give you a little plaque. They give you a piece of paper if you've been there for 5 years, and then they give you a little bit more stuff. But eventually, when you've been there 30 years, somebody's going to give a speech about you. So there was like three or four people that night that had been there 30 years. And the guy, one of my good friends, stood up and talked about me. And as he was talking about me, I thought, yeah, that's me, all right. But it wasn't what I really wanted to hear. Because if you would have not known me, what you would have thought I was, that my whole purpose in life, and some of you may already think this about me, and I'm sorry if this is you, but that my identity was that I was a Yankee fan. I was a Yankees fan. Because he just talked and talked about, I know all the Yankees, history of Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth, and I've got Yankees paraphernalia, probably got Yankees underwear, I mean, I was Yankees guy, and he talked about that, and it was kind of funny and fun, but I thought, that's not who I am. But evidently, that's what I had been declaring to him and to others. My Yankee paraphernalia had gotten in the way of people seeing that really I'm a child of God. That's what I want to be known for. I want to declare that I'm the beloved son of God. I don't care. You know what I did? I took all my Yankees stuff out of my office. I don't want people to walk in and think, whoa, this dude is a Yankees fan. I want to think more. I want to declare. I want people to know that I'm God's son, and that's the most, and I'm thankful to be God's son. Now, if the Yankees win the World Series, I'm best celebrate, but I'm going to be thankful that I'm God's son. That's who I am, and I want to declare that. I want everybody to know. Well, here we are. We're going to sing, Great Are You, Lord. And in this way of being thankful that God is awesome, that we serve a great God, that I want to just read this scripture to you as well. These are words from Psalm 145. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them declare your power. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue, and I will proclaim your goodness. This is what I want my generation to tell your generation, to tell future generations, that God is good, and I'm thankful to be His child, that God has done amazing things for me already, and I'm thankful for them, and He's preparing things for me, and I'm thankful for my future. I'm not worried about my future. I am thankful for my future. Now, I don't know what my job's going to be in the future, because Alan and Beth are moving, so I don't know what's going to happen to us. But I'm trusting God, right? I trust God. My future is in His hands. My past is in His hands. And I'm thankful to God. And I want to tell everybody that. So I want to tell from generation to generation His awe-inspired deeds. He is awesome. And I want to be thankful about that. Now back one thing to intentionality. So for me, I want to do some things with intentionality. And what I've done for some of you already is when you're on the prayer list because you have something that we're very concerned about and we're praying about, I will do this. I'll pray the hours for you. So on the hour, I'll pray. Now, that only lasts as long as your need lasts. So, you know, after a couple of days, it's as far as I can go with you. And if your need lasts a long time, I probably will stop praying for you on the hours and just pray for you every Sunday when we get here to church. Just being honest here about my prayer life. But for a while we are in intense need mode, I'll pray for you every hour. Here's what I'm going to do with these anticipate, with remember, anticipate, declare. I want to remember God. Every morning when I get up, I'm going to remember what He's done. And every evening when I go to bed, I'm going to anticipate what He's going to do. And I'm going to pray these prayers. I'm going to be thankful. I'm remembering what He's done. I'm anticipating what He's going to do. And in this rhythm of a way, and so next week I'll talk to you about that. How did it go with me? But I want you to think of how can it go with you? What intentional behaviors can you adapt? What's going to make you intentionally thankful? Intentionally thankful. I am crummy at thank you cards. I'm bad at that. But I have a thankful spirit, but I want to be better at being thankful in my behavior to match what's in my heart. Does that make sense? I want my behavior to match what's in my heart. And for me to do that, I need to make some changes. And one of them, I'm going to start waking up and thanking God for all He's done for me. I'm going to go to bed. When I go to bed, I'm thank God for all You're going to do. Pray this prayer. We're going to stand and sing this song, and then I'll have one more last word for you. Let's go.